This week's edition of News AF is sponsored by our friends over at True Car, who have some useful tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil. I love olive oil so much. It could be used to clean the interior of your car. You can also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage. I've been lugging around all this olive oil this whole time. Now you tell me. And you could place a keychain remote right underneath your chin to improve its range. All weird tips. Here's something that's not so weird, that True Car can help you get a used car as well. That's right. True Car is not just for buying a new car anymore. With the certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on the actual factual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid. What? Yes. So you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. And you're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience too when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here to talk about the week's most interesting news stories from the internet for the week of June 19th, 2018, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Whoop. Actual, factual news.
Yes, what a week for the actual, factual news team. Streaming here on twitch.tv/RHAP. And so much to get to here with a man who not just celebrated Father's Day, but also his birthday. Here is the great Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Still great.
Still great. Tyson, yeah. How was your birthday?
It was fine. It was good. Yeah.
What'd
I'm
you
not
do?
A big, well, Rachel requested that we go to breakfast for my birthday, but Bergen.
Which was on Father's Day, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I was born on Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
There's some weird, like, you can look it up for me if you want to, but there's some weird pattern where my birthday falls on Father's Day, like every like 7 years, then 3 years, then something years.
Mm-hmm.
So this was one of those years that it fell on Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Rachel said we should go to breakfast, and Bergen said that she would prefer I make pancakes for her at home.
Yeah.
So
it's
I made
scene on Father's Day to go out to breakfast.
Yeah, it
oh,
is.
Yeah. Even at IHOB now.
Even IHOB, they still serve breakfast, huh?
Yeah.
So
everybody got the memo.
Yeah. So they're going to have to change back just to let people know they also serve breakfast.
They still can't get breakfast.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, it was fine. It was low key, but that's how I prefer my holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And now, of course, let's bring in a man who is enjoying so much buzz this week that there was a thread. Did you see this? Tyson on the Survivor Reddit that anybody else think Danny Bryson from the critically acclaimed nonpartisan news outlet News AF should take over as host of Survivor once Jeff Probst decides to leave? Here he is to comment on that and more, the great Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
I didn't even know that thread existed.
Yes.
But yes, I should probably do that.
Yes.
Will you do it?
I can. I'm pretty good at talking.
Mm-hmm.
Especially sometimes talking to people or cameras. I can mm-hmm. do both.
Okay.
I have my mom. If she's a reference, call her. She'd probably say I'd be great for
the
job.
Well, why don't you do like a couple lines for us and we can hear, like, say, come on in, guys.
Okay, what's a famous line that he says? I'll obviously have to develop my own.
Come on in, guys.
Are you going to change the sort of traditional
taglines?
Survivor phrases, like the tribe is spoken?
Yeah, of course, right? I'd have to create and own my own.
It.
Yeah, I got to put my mark on it.
I've got a couple for you.
Dog marking territory. Okay, go.
Tyson taking a huge load.
Okay, what's the scenario under which I would say this phrase?
I'm carrying a huge bunch of puzzle pieces to run back to my tribe for the challenge.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. He's got a huge load. Tyson's always got a huge load in his arms.
No.
No.
You got to say Tyson's. It's got to be sexual.
Everything has to be sexual?
During the challenges, yes.
Here is Tyson groping the puzzle pieces. He's got a giant load in him.
I don't know. I think people are going to be out on Danny being the new Spider-Man.
I don't want that to be my audition tape. Me trying to replay what Tyson said.
Can you say Rob's always been good with the balls?
Rob has actually hit upon a great thing that makes me not a great presenter. And let me just get myself fired from this non-existent job offer. Mm-hmm. I can't feign excitement at all. If things aren't really exciting, I won't be excited.
He's like an anti-Seacrest, where
let's just say this: maybe behind the scenes, so we have me presenting or talking about what's going on, but behind everything that's going on, there's a guy showing the amount of money I'm making at that time, like a running calculator or a clock or something, like
a running ticker.
So I can always look at it if I feel like I'm getting bored here. This is taking forever. It's super hot. The mosquitoes are crazy. Because remember, he does a lot of work in some miserable locations.
Oh no, that's incorrect.
No, that's not right. He's not in hot locations.
He is in hot
hologrammed
locations. Yeah, he's hologrammed in from his plush from his plush hotel room.
Mm-hmm. So he probably sleeps better, obviously, at night than contestants. But he's out there in the heat with the mosquitoes and all the griping, stinky contestants. And so, in order to make me enthused, I think I could do it. I just need a ticker that shows how much I'm earning at that moment.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, we'll see if we can work that in the contract. Maybe you could just be the drone pilot for Survivor.
Would you rather be the drone pilot?
No, I'd rather be the
face of the show.
The face, because the drone pilot does a lot of sitting around. Because there's only so much you can get with a drone.
Well, Jeff Probst is there for the challenges and for tribal council. The drone pilot would have to be there all day, air day.
Yeah, that sounds way worse. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's inevitable I'm going to crash my drone, and they probably aren't going to foot the bill for a new one. So it'll be a short-lived job.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Thank you to everyone who thinks I would be good at that job.
Yeah, you really failed.
You just need to learn a little bit more about me before you realize that I actually would not be good for that job.
Yes. So a shout out to this is the user Queen Parvati who started this thread on Reddit. One Reddit user decided to give it a sample of what it would be like if Danny was hosting Survivor. This is from... Hurt Me More wrote, "All right, time to make fire. And honestly, if you can't do it, you don't even deserve to be here. At that point, you barely even deserve a flight back to America. Consider yourself lucky Greyhound doesn't even connect to Fiji. I'm so sick of this twist. Just do it already and snuff your own torch on the way out so I don't have to see you until the reunion. And that's if I even decide to go."
Wow. Now that person knows me. Was that written by Tyson?
Yeah. Or Liz.
Or my wife. Was that written by my wife?
Yeah. This is from Smasher X. "Danny would be an awesome contestant. He's in shape, more attractive than his voice suggests, and would be at the center of so much hilarious conflict, mostly because of his germophobia and general dislike of people."
Yeah, that does make for drama in that scenario.
But utter underscore perfection says, "Does Skeet Dog not like Survivor? I feel like if he wanted to, he'd be cast in a second. You got to take a 3-minute snip of any of his rants on News AF, preferably one of the ones from the bolt hole, and submit it as his video."
You know, I like Survivor when Tyson's in it. I like it, but Tyson, when he comes back from Survivor, makes it sound like it's actually very difficult to do. For an entire month, you're deprived of all the things that might make life enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm used to going out and depriving myself maybe a weekend, but an entire month, that does sound
you appreciate
tough.
Things more.
No, you don't.
Oh, there's Tyson, the dash of reality.
For like a day until you binge too much, and then you're like, oh God, I wish I hadn't.
Oh, wow. Look at this Tyson paper.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Paper cuts. Oh no, I just got 500 paper cuts from rubbing myself all in paper. I ruined the experience. That's okay. How it goes.
All right. Well, let's get into talking about our news stories at this hour, if we may. And so why don't we start things off talking about a big development yesterday where President Trump announced plans, surprised everybody, that he would like to see a sixth branch of the military commission, something that he is dubbing Space Force. And this really took me by surprise that we were even talking about this. Danny, are you excited about the prospects of Space Force?
Oh my gosh. First of all, you got to get a great actor. I don't know whose voice it is. Space Force. You know, like to come out and make a cool ad. Because you know how the Marines have a cool ad.
Yeah.
The Air Force has a cool ad. Space Force has to have the best ad ever. Like Battlestar Galactica awesome. with an awesome guy who's
That's
like...
That's the benchmark? Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, just like
the
cyborgs.
Old one or the new one?
New one, laser beams, a guy with a sweet voice. How about some scenes from like that Troopers movies? What was that called?
Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
Super Troopers.
Yeah. 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 So maybe actually there is a promo in that movie that they could just use if they just buy it from that movie, like a promo to
Starship
join
Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
So yeah. It sounds expensive, but I have to say it's not his worst idea.
No, I'm very much on board for Space Force. Tyson, if they had Space Force when I was 18, I think I might have enlisted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's sign up. Let's all sign up for Space Force. Where do you think the academy would be? And
San
would we
Francisco.
Have a football team?
On the moon.
In the academy would be on the moon.
I hope so.
You'd have to travel back to the mainland is what
no,
they would call
if
it
you
for
could
football
If you could survive
games.
The flight to the moon,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you're in.
Yeah,
but then what? But then when you need to join the...
In low gravity scenarios, you like do some grappling.
Yeah, but in the academy, they have a football team. You're going to have to play Air Force.
Yeah, it's
at
totally
some point.
Different. It's like trying to get people to go to Hawaii and play Hawaiian college football. Nobody wants to go.
Yeah, who would have the advantage in the Air Force Space Force football game? I guess it would depend on where.
If it's on the moon.
The moon or if it was yeah. Here on Earth.
Yeah, because gravity. Rob, you probably didn't account for gravity when playing football.
Right. The Space Force football team is surprisingly weak. When
they play. Whenever can't hold their own body Earth. Weights up.
Whenever we say Space Force, can we say Space Force?
We can.
I feel like that's the only appropriate way to say the words Space Force.
Space Force. Whoa. Here's some real breaking news on the chat room.
Yeah.
Kroll is coming on TV this week on Comet.
Wait, on Comet TV? Does anybody have Comet TV? Or is that only being shown at Space Force Command?
Academy. Yeah, Space Force Command.
Space
Force gosh.
Academy.
I want Space Force to happen. I'm too old to sign up. They want young recruits.
You think?
Yeah, because...
But they need the seasoned guys, because they always have the seasoned guys. Those will be the
Yeah, but when they say
stuff.
Seasoned, they usually add grizzled veteran to seasoned.
Yeah, yeah,
they don't want some soft city boys up there commanding the Space Force.
Now,
somebody who doesn't even know what a callus is. Danny still thinks calluses aren't real. He thinks they're a made up.
What
thing.
Are you talking about? Of course, I agree with callus science.
No, Tyson, I know you are tapped in over at NASA. Is NASA being phased out and replaced with Space Force?
Well, I think Space Force. Is a military branch that will be working in conjunction with NASA and private space entrepreneurs.
I feel like Space Force is just a good way to fund NASA because Space Force isn't going to be a real thing. It's going to be toys. And we all know that toys can make billions of dollars, which is what NASA needs. So maybe it's all just a gimmick to start a toy company that helps fund actual space exploration.
Yeah.
Like what kind of toys? Like figures and stuff?
Yeah, action figures. I think that G.I. Joe was moving into the space realm right there at the end.
Just pick up where they left
just
off.
Just pick up where they left off. Use some of their old molds. I don't know if kids play with toys these days, though.
They do? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Space Force. It's all about toys. You don't have any kids of your own?
I do. I just don't really. I try not to pay attention or too close. Yeah. I'm like, what are they doing? I don't know. They're not bothering me. If I interact, they will.
Now, is Space Force going to be on the front line of keeping humans out of the galactic salt mines, Tyson?
Uh-oh.
What?
Yeah. Are they going to be the ones tasked with defending us from enslavement? You know, when it comes to other galaxies invading,
I don't want
to
join anymore.
Well, what, dropping you want to go to the salt mine?
No, I don't want to go to the salt mine, but I also don't want to defend.
Okay, well, you're going to have to make that choice, Tyson.
Can I just sit on the fence?
You can't sit on the fence. Yeah. Here, it's salt mines or Space Force. Those are your two
options.
So
I have to choose between the two. Well, obviously Space Force, dude, because even if you're only in Space Force for 2 years before they put you in the salt mines, at least you had those 2 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, and don't worry, Tyson, you're not the kind of guy who dies when someone accidentally opens an airlock. Like, just as you're getting into orbit, you're all excited for your new job.
And yeah, the new
some
guy.
Some guy's like, what does this button do? It sends Tyson into space.
No, it's not the new guy. It's the guy who's like, I'm 2 days from retirement.
Yeah. Oh, you're
this
right.
Is my last, this is the last trip I got to take you guys
Look,
on.
Trainee, I'm going to be in there scrubbing out the hold. Whatever you do, don't touch this button. And then a hot chick walks by and he is distracted and leans on the butt and the grizzled veteran gets shot into space and turns into ice.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I guess I'll join Space Force. Plus I really think that if I get put in the galactic salt mines, I'll be able to beach my way up into
management.
Up into management.
Yeah. Wow. This is very exciting. Yeah. Now, but are other countries also developing a Space Force, Danny?
So right now there is a treaty that prohibits the military moves in space, right? And so the problem, the real world problem with this.
I think I have a good feeling where this is going.
So the problem with this is that China is very eager. I know their space station just crashed to Earth. They don't have a great track record in space. But there's a couple countries that would love to put
so are they still manning that space station even though it's on Earth now?
Now that it's in the ocean?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So let's. There are lots of people eager to put up their own Space Force. So it's kind of a bad idea. Mm-hmm. It sounds cool, but we really don't want... I mean, there's already so much junk orbiting the Earth. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, this will be part of their job is to manage that.
Now, mm-hmm. Okay.
Tyson, will Space Force be in charge of policing the outer space? For instance, so Richard Branson, he decides to go up into space. Is there some sort of a space speed limit that the Space Force is going to be in charge of protecting against?
I think they're mostly going to be monitoring speed, space shuttle speed. I think that will be their probably
main focus.
Do you
have any idea how fast you were going, Richard Branson?
Oh, 17, probably like
17,000 miles an hour, I think.
Is that how they measure it? They don't do nautical miles?
I think the space station travels at 17,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be nobody can go faster than that. Although you might have to if you want to break orbit.
Danny, we're going to have to die soon and get shot up to heaven in a embrace if we're going to do this. Space Force is going to shut it down.
No, listen, but if we join Space Force, we can have a Spock-like funeral from the end of Wrath of Khan, which would be pretty rad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where our DNA is used to create a terrible, horrifying new planet, but that would be cool.
The Genesis planet.
The Genesis planet with Tyson and Danny DNA. You can only imagine.
Okay. All right. Well, this is another story that's going on as we wait for more details to emerge from Space Force that we were sent this by many of our users or listeners as we were on a quest to find the worst movie of the summer. And we may have found it in the new John Travolta film Gotti, which currently has a 0% rating on the website.
Zero.
Rotten Tomatoes, Tyson.
Yeah, you said we may have found it. I don't think there's any question we found it. This is 100% the movie we're all going to have to watch.
Yes. Okay, so what is the plan, Danny? Now, has this movie been released?
It has. I found it at a local theater. Mm-hmm. And it's no surprise that it's a local theater that's struggling for business.
Yeah.
Because they make poor choices. Their movie purchaser is really bad. It's like when you go to a boutique and they're like selling Jinkos. And you're like, wait, what? And the buyer's like, yeah, these are the hottest jeans known to man. And you're like, no, they're not. This is, yeah. So any theater that is showing this, you probably want to wear a knife-proof vest.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather not pay for this movie, though. At 0%, can I just walk in and watch it?
I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works. Now, the film stars John Travolta, but it has a famous director as well. Tyson, this movie was directed by Kevin Connolly of Entourage fame.
Well, you'd think anybody that comes out of the Entourage juggernaut is going to be making real brilliant films.
Yeah. No. Did you guys watch the John Travolta when he was in the People versus O.J. Simpson and he played, was it who did he play? He
Shapiro.
Robert Shapiro in that movie. It feels like and he wasn't good at that. Feels like that this is the same thing.
It feels like it's identical. That's what I was thinking too. And I was like, it's no surprise. Why is he still acting? He's like he's taking like a real like Val Kilmer, Nick Cage turn for the worse.
He needs to take, but he doesn't have the Nicolas Cage
the like ironic flair. Love.
Yeah, the ironic love. He's just like, by the way, here's an interesting fact. So 0% on Tomato Meter, but the audience gave it a 75% out of 6,900 user ratings.
Yes.
Is that sympathy vote? Is that a sympathy thing for John Travolta?
Well, could it be the type of thing, Danny, where on Amazon, where there's a bunch of like fake reviews, like could the studio be like hiring like a bunch of people,
a bunch of India Filipinos? For, like, yeah,
I have no doubt that Eric Connolly has a bunch of fake accounts.
Kevin Connolly.
Eric's probably his brother.
Eric is his character he plays in Entourage.
Yes. E.
He's so cool.
I really wish that there was like a different movie that had a 0% rating. I don't know how it could be any better than this, but it's like at least a sci-fi has some sci-fi slant to it that I can enjoy.
Yeah.
This looks like it's got nothing for me. Piranha 3DD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Piranha 3DD. What does a double D stand for?
Nothing fun about Gotti.
Yeah, I don't even see the there's no nudity in it.
Mm-hmm.
From what I'm reading here, I mean they're not even going to give me some nudity.
That's probably why it's a zero.
Yeah, at least if they threw in some nudity, it would get 1 to 5%.
Do you know for a fact there is no nudity?
No, I'm just reading rating R for strong violence.
Yeah.
Which is I'm desensitized, and pervasive language. What the hell does that mean?
Is it pervasive like language?
Pervasive
like
language
of a perv.
Yeah,
maybe.
It could be. It could be like, basically, remember Joe Pesci in all of his mob films? I'm pretty sure he used pervasive language the entire time.
Yeah.
Do you think they should have gotten Joe Pesci to play Gotti instead of John Travolta?
Yeah, at least, yes, it would have done at least 15% better.
Yeah, people would have been pumped up for that. Yeah, not one critic gave it a positive review. That's what the 0% rating score, the percentage of critics that viewed the movie as favorable. Yet, there does seem to be this disconnect where 75% of the audience liked it. But
that's how it always is.
Yeah.
Maybe no, not always.
For the people.
This is suspicious. Normally, if you get a low critic rating, you get like a maybe 40 to 60%. 75%, I think they paid too many people off, and they went too high on the user rating, because 75 is abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Tyson and you guys are correct, and that someone's being paid somewhere to put up fake.
Yeah. Now, it's reviews. Only been reviewed 25 times, but 0 out of 25 critics gave the movie a favorable review.
25 people saw it, and 25 people gave it a... Is there like an in-between between 0 tomatoes and a million tomatoes? Or do you only get to get favorable or non-favorable?
I think if you're over 50% or whatever the critics' rating is, like the critics... I don't know what the criteria is, but the critics gave it a D+. One critic gave it a C. Somebody gave it a 0 out of 4 stars. Somebody gave it 0.5 stars out of 4 stars. 1 star out of 4 stars. D+. And 1 out of 5 stars. So I guess the best rating it got was somebody gave it a C.
Mm.
But that's
C's still that's passing.
Yeah, I got a lot of those in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm proud of them.
Look where you're at now.
Look where I am.
Yeah. So what are we doing? Are we turning it over to the audience to let them ask them if they want us to review Gotti? Or do we want to wait for something that is worse but might be more fun to review?
Well, we went to the
Emoji movie
yeah, together. Yep. Me and Danny did, and he wanted to leave immediately when we sat down.
Danny did.
Yeah.
And so I was
like, well, we're at least spending time together as friends, and he's like, "That's not enough."
Oh my gosh! There's another movie they got close, guys.
Ooh, what is it?
Say it.
There's a movie called Race 3.
Race 3,
and it got 11%.
What's Race 3 about?
Let me read. I didn't even know. I mean, obviously, there's a reason for that. Race 3 is an internationally mounted saga of a family that deals in borderline crime, but is ruthless and vindictive to the core.
Race sounds like Gotti.
Sounds stupid. Yeah.
What?
Did we need to see Race 1 and 2?
Not rated, so not sure if that's a good sign.
Playing near me.
Oh, so it might not, be.
There's not nudity.
It's not playing near me, Danny? Either. I wonder if it's a Bollywood film, actually.
Well, I don't.
I think it is Bollywood.
Yes.
So that doesn't count.
It has to be a film that our listeners can access as well, so they can watch and enjoy it with us.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy with us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But a lot of people are skeptical of us reviewing this because it's maybe too terrible. James J. Basket said, "I'd almost rather you guys review the Book Club one."
All Book right. Club got 53%. That's so much better than Gotti.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to hold off on reviewing Gotti in the hopes that something worse will come along.
Worse, but better.
That might be more fun.
And yeah. Also, I would like to hold off until this goes to Netflix and I can watch it for free.
Yeah.
That's okay. What I would like to do.
All right. So that's the verdict on Gotti. Sorry, Kevin Connolly, because maybe we would have come out and said, "Hey, Gotti is not that bad." And maybe it would have changed the perception that people had. But that is not what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all not right. going to be doing that. Sorry, Kevin Connolly.
Sorry, Kevin Connolly. All right. We love to hear news about the millennials and.
Oh, let's skewer them.
And a new survey from creditcards.com found that millennials are the worst tippers in the United States. Tyson, are you buying this?
Probably, because they probably have the least amount of money because they're the youngest generation.
Yeah,
these
that,
people.
I totally agree with Tyson. Young people are bad tippers. No
young
kidding.
People are trying to save a dime so they can buy stuff in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. So I think this is too broad again. All these millennial stories that we have coming out, it's like they like their avocado toast. Guess what, guys? I also enjoy an avocado toast.
But
I'm not a millennial.
Tip for avocado toast, Tyson?
Of course I do. But here's the question. Are you guys ready for this? This is going to probably blow your minds.
Okay, blow my mind right now.
Let's say you have a bill for $200.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then with tax, it's like 220.
Okay.
How much do you tip on that?
$44.
$44?
That's what I would tip.
Yeah, that's what you would tip because you're including the tax as part of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the breakdown on those receipts that give you the math of it all, they exclude the tax from the tipping amount. So do you now, should you tip on the pre-taxed amount?
Boy, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz today.
Or the post-taxed amount.
Let me get out my Texas Instrument calculator. I don't have one.
I've always tipped on the total.
Yeah.
No, but then when you look at big bills that have a larger tax, then now you're adding, you know, a little
bit
of cash.
Yeah, but if you're running up big bills, you're probably just flowing with money.
You probably are, but still it's easier to leave 40 than to leave 44.
Really?
Just based on the number of it.
Tyson is on top of this because when we were in D.C., that I think we ordered a bunch of food and then we split the bill. And then I was going to leave a tip and Tyson, you're not leaving enough. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, no, this is not, you're not doing the math right.
Yep. Tyson's a tip shamer.
Yeah.
Did you call him out to the restaurant? This
no,
man
I'm not
is
a
leaving
tip shamer.
A poor
Rob was
tip.
gonna leave the correct amount in percentage wise. He just did his math wrong.
I did the math. Tyson was checking my math. Yeah.
Well, I was like, "Hey, we're leaving because we split the bill," and I was like, "We're leaving this amount." And Rob's like, "Why?" Oh, I was like, "We're leaving this amount," and he took it as the total amount, so he was going to split that in half. And I was like, "No, we each have to leave that amount to be 20%."
The greatest tip story I have actually took place in IHOB, previously known as IHOP.
Was it with me?
No.
Well, why are we telling stories that aren't about me on the show?
The woman comped my friend a hot chocolate, right? Okay. And so he said, "How much should I leave a tip?" I said, "Yeah, just leave the cost of the hot chocolate."
Exactly. Like $2. That's correct.
He put the tip down, and when everybody left, I turned around and saw him pick his tip back up and leave the restaurant.
No.
That's just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing.
Is that, dude, what's wrong with that, dude? What illness has that man received since then?
Has he been struck down? Because that's obviously how higher powers work. They're "Thou shalt not take back thine tip." He probably has incontinence and can't get a boner.
Oh, that's how that happens?
Yep, that's exactly what
that's
happens.
That's what happens if you're a bad tipper.
Yes, well, that's a new way to look at a health issue for people.
And you're still friends with this guy?
Yeah.
Actually, I am in contact with this person.
Name his name.
No, I'm not going to name his name.
Name his name.
I won't do it online.
Just first and last name.
No.
Do his last name first.
Look, he doesn't need to be shamed. He's improved, all right? He's really improved over the last 10, 15 years, all right? That's all that matters. Has improvement been made? Yes. He's a better person
now. Oh, my goodness. Listen to this. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah, well, I never said I was a good man, and I will gladly stand by and do nothing. I watch all these videos of people being heroic, and I know we're getting off topic here, and I always ask the question.
Are you sure it wasn't a Space Force propaganda?
Yeah. Tyson sounds like he's spouting some Space Force propaganda right now.
No.
But every time I watch those videos, I'm like, would I do that? Would I rush into the water to save a guy being munched on by a shark? I don't know. I mean, deep down inside me, oftentimes the answer is no, because I don't want to get bit by the shark. Or get in an argument with the guy over a tip. Or get punched in the face by a guy bigger than me.
I would pull you out of the water if you were getting attacked by a shark.
I know. That's because you're a better guy. That's why you belong in Space Force, Tyson.
No, I think I'm just a better swimmer.
Yeah.
I'm more confident.
But I think that you do belong in Space Force. Swimming in water and space have a lot of similarities.
So anyways, let's go back to that. Because somebody was questioning that rationale on the tip. That is correct. That's the tipping instructions I've always followed, is if somebody gives you a freebie at the restaurant, you give them the cost of the freebie only in a tip.
Yep.
So if they give you a $3 soda for free, you add $3 to the tip. You don't tip on top of the $3 of the soda, but you do include that as the price, because you're still getting a discount because you're not tipping on top of the thing.
I'm interested in getting your guys' take on this. What activities do you base your tip on? Like, what can the server do to get a good tip? What do you look at when considering a tip for your server? Just out of curiosity.
What did you say? I don't look at anything. And If the server's at fault for being real shit, and I know it's the server's fault, then maybe I'll do 15%.
So the food comes out and it tastes terrible. You still leave a good tip for the server?
The problem is that it's not everyone's fault. It's one person's fault, and so it's hard to like.
I know, that's why I'm asking.
So I always
just curious.
Tip 20, unless I'm enraged. Unless for some reason my experience has been completely ruined, I will leave 20%.
Because maybe the millennials tipping less is a sign of poor service by other millennials serving millennials. Maybe millennials hate serving themselves.
Mm-hmm. The great millennial war.
Yeah, the great
upon us.
Maybe the impending millennial war starts here in the world of tipping.
Why do I have to serve you?
Why
what's so special about you? Shouldn't you be serving me?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So maybe that's what it's more a sign of, rather than just that millennials are bad tippers. They just hate tipping their own generation.
Maybe, maybe. Listen to some of the findings from the study. Millennials were the most likely to stiff servers. They were also the most likely to select the lowest of the pre-selected tip options. And millennials would prefer to pay higher prices and not have to tip at all.
Well, they may get their wish. A lot of states are moving to a mandatory minimum wage in restaurants, mm-hmm. and that will probably eliminate the tip. So, good job, millennials. You might get your wish.
Yeah. Tyson, do you think that this speaks to that younger people would prefer to have less social interactions where this is just another person that I have to, you know?
No, I think it's just making it easier. It's mm-hmm. like you look at the number and that's the number. I like that idea. I would do that.
Yeah.
If they were like, let's, but it's going to be a hard struggle to move away from the, because each society has a different tipping standard.
Yeah, it's out of control.
And Europeans, when they come here, their mind is blown. They don't even know what's going on. And then when you go to Europe and you're like, here's a $5 tip on a $100 thing. And like the server shits their pants and is like, I've never been given that much money for doing my job from another customer in my life. And then I'm like, what did I do wrong? And they're like, you should have given them 50 cents, not 5 euro. Mm-hmm. I was talking in dollars, but it was euro that I was.
Yes, using. I understood that.
All right. Well, let's talk about another service industry related story about somebody that maybe was not going to get a good tip after this, because it has been widely circulated, this story about a customer in a New York burger place, which ended up getting a copy of their receipt, which included something that they did not ask for with this receipt that they found, which had the special instructions for the cook to spit in the burger.
Hmm. Normally, they don't even have to write that on the receipt.
Yeah.
It's just implied.
I saw that and I thought, when you listen to the man, when he's like, I ordered it with this type of onions and with this thing and with this thing, you're like, this guy was super demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it mattered, but I can see him maybe being kind of a jerk. Maybe he wasn't, and maybe this is just weird, but it sounded like he was like pretty demanding on how he wanted his burger done. And that's the thing. You can't go into a restaurant and demand stuff and be kind of a jerk and not expect some DNA to be on your food when it comes out.
Yeah. Just be glad that this is DNA that came from the mouth.
Because
there's lots of other orifices that can produce DNA.
Like anytime I go somewhere with like my dad and he's like, we're at McDonald's and he's like, why don't you do the Wendy's fries? And I'm like, Dad, they're spitting in all of our stuff now.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. When my wife does her special orders, I just walk away.
Yeah.
Just walk away.
You're like, I'm actually with the party behind her.
Yep. I'm not with her. I don't know why she's asking for a hamburger. I like a bacon cheeseburger, but can you get rid of the bacon, the cheese, one of the buns? Can you cut the lettuce in half? I only want a quarter tomato. It's like, nope. I don't know her. I don't know who this woman is.
That's any special order that is ridiculous is going to really, really cost you. And if you like DNA, then...
Yeah. Well, that's why when I go to a restaurant and they have a sign like, you cannot change the order, or the order is as it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, good for you standing up for your food as you prepared it.
I'll base a lot of my orders, not based on what I think looks the most delicious, but based on the one I don't have to change to my liking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be like, okay, let's see. That one has extra mayonnaise. That one has... extra ranch. That one doesn't have extra ranch or mayonnaise, but it's my third favorite of the three. I'll just get that.
Yep. And then you don't even have to say, and my good man, make sure that the chef does not put any DNA on it.
Yeah. I hate to trouble you, sir.
I hate to bother you.
Now, I just want to explore the dynamic of what goes on at this restaurant, because the server here takes the order. Apparently, this person wanted a cheeseburger with cheddar, well done, toast the bread, add caramel onions and mayo to it. And then the server requested also, please spit on this burger as well, which I think is weird to this person is a problem customer. The server is outsourcing the spitting to the cook. Is the cook on board with this, Tyson? Do you think that the cook actually did spit on the burger?
I don't know. I can't imagine my 40-year-old self, almost 40-year-old, spitting on a burger that I'm preparing for someone in the back. But I can imagine a 16-year-old Tyson spitting on someone's burger mm-hmm. that was a jerk mm-hmm. to
on
me.
Request. But you were the person wasn't a jerk to you. Danny's
right.
taking the order.
Yeah.
But Danny, I trust
kitchen.
Danny.
Hey,
Danny's my friend. I trust
yeah.
Danny enough.
For me, will you?
Tyson and I are in the trenches of yeah. food service
and
together.
I
mean, we have a bond stronger
than a husband
then,
and wife.
Yeah. So we're like best friends. I'm going to trust him when he sends me back a note that says, please leave any DNA of your choice on yeah. this hamburger. And obviously, I'm going to go for spit because that's the easiest one to
conjure
up. I
don't think the guy really spit on it.
I would have a hard time thinking he spit on it because you're also like, there's a paper trail here now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a joke. I think it's like, hey, that's like shorthand for this guy's being a real tool.
Yeah. Or even like, even giving him this copy, which a lot of people said, this is the kitchen's copy of the receipt. How would he even get his hands on this? Maybe even to the point of like, let's put that on there and he'll read that and flip out.
I do feel like the toasted buns, if the yeah. buns weren't toasted on the menu, the toasted buns is just going too far. Oh, by the way, yeah. could you toast the buns? What are you, the king?
Well, I mean, you read down the whole thing. Cheddar, well done. Toast bread. Add caramel onions. Mayo. I don't know. I don't know what their burger generally is.
Like, but the toasted bun thing, I feel like if that's not something that's offered, that's just asking for too much.
That is too much.
Too much. Do Can you remove all the sesame seeds from the top, please?
Yeah.
Too much.
Okay. All right. Tyson, what would you do if you went to a restaurant and then, I know you don't do any special orders, but if you got the receipt that said this, how would you handle this?
I think I would do what this gentleman did.
Go to the manager?
Yeah, just talk to the manager.
Yeah. What did they do to try to placate this customer?
They gave him his money back and...
let him spit on the cook?
No, I think they did two things. I think they mm-hmm. comped him. They were going to give him some comps and gave him his money back.
That's
I don't remember.
Great. Yes. He's never going to want to go back, like comp him. Like, here's some coupons to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Danny, some people have said that maybe this was a typo and they meant to write split and not spit.
Mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, I doubt that guy hardly ever makes typos when he's working. So that's unlikely. I don't believe that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So be careful out there because
And you don't have to tip on a burger like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you get that, you don't tip on that, obviously.
Okay. And let's talk about another story we have for you guys today. This is one that I thought that Tyson might be excited about this one. Because
very excited. Tyson's very excited.
Watches a lot of nature documentaries.
Oh, hells yeah, I do, yeah. dude.
This is a story for you, Tyson.
Because, talking about that, the Sir Attenborough?
Yes, Sir mm-hmm. David Attenborough can boost your sex life, according to another study, because his
documentaries... Not any secret to me, guys. Not a secret to me.
His documentaries supposedly boost body confidence.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you're so...
Like when you're watching a manatee and elephants and stuff on TV all day long, you're like, I look pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you realize how ugly the animal kingdom looks like when they have sex, you're like, my sex isn't that bad.
Yeah. Or you watch monkeys flinging poo at each other. And
yeah.
Like, eh.
I'm one of these. I am an animal.
I could do worse for myself.
Yeah. Or I thought it was more like they're so boring that people are like, hey, let's just fool around. This is really boring.
I read through it real quick, and I think the actual factuals of it are that when you're put more into it puts you more into a natural state instead of being surrounded by all of the superficials of the modern human interactions.
Yeah. Sex couches make sense.
The sex couches have always made sense.
So it's nothing about Sir David Attenborough and his voice?
It has nothing to do with that, although I would disagree and say it's almost has everything to do with that.
Yeah, I would like him, you know, maybe if he's to to narrate my intercourse.
When you showed, when you shared that David, when I saw the David Attenborough headline, was horrified thinking that he had died.
Oh, okay.
So I opened it immediately. It was like, oh, thank God. Only you were just talk his about brother the, from
the way your body reacted.
Oh yeah, dude.
The tingling in all the right areas.
Yes.
A burning. Why is this? What's happening here? Why am I so tingly in my fun parts?
Yeah.
Yeah. So watching the animals, is this why you like to go to the zoo in all these cities, Tyson?
Yeah, that's right. Tyson's a sex addict.
Just walking around getting fully torqued.
Is that why Rachel reacted so negatively to going to another zoo?
No. I don't know.
That's a good point, Rob.
I don't know that this is true because I still have max amounts of body shame. Mm-hmm. And I probably watch more of these than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So not working for me, Sir Attenborough. Attenborough.
Okay.
So well, it's not his fault, Tyson. Go easy on the guy, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right, so we'll see. But if anybody's feeling down, put on some of these nature documentaries.
Oh, they're fun.
Well, yeah, and you can always
Planet
just
Earth,
realize.
Planet Earth 2, Blue Planet.
Yeah.
They're incredible.
All right. We'll see. Danny, are these other stories here
look,
for
no,
the bolt hole? You want to jump
in? No. There's a public shaving story.
Okay. Public shaving story, not shaming.
No, and this one happened like a day or two after our last story. And you know how they talk about, what is it called? The effect when, why can't I think of it? Like someone gives either a permission giver because they do it in public. So all of us like poopers. Did you notice like all the poopering stories blew up after there was one public pooper? And now we have the public shaving stories. I wonder if they're like the first story is the permission giver. And then everybody's using that as an excuse to behave like a character from an Attenborough film.
They all wanted to do it, but none of them had the courage. And they see one person do it and they'll all do it.
I heard Malcolm Gladwell talking about this on a podcast. We're talking about like, you know, how many people like... in terms of like there being riots where, you know, like how many people, how many of your peers need to be rioting before you two are not the band, but you are joining the riot? Do, you know, five of your friends need to be rioting before Danny is taking a TV set and throwing it through a glass window?
Well, we know that for this woman, it's one shaver.
Yes.
Public
one,
shaver.
One woman was shaving her legs in the pool. And this woman said, yes, now it's time for me to be shaving my legs.
It's my time.
It's my time.
In the subway.
Yep, in the subway in Manhattan. So that's like taking it to the next level, though. The pool is something, at least there's water, right? It's a watery environment, very similar to a bath or shower. This woman's doing it dry on the subway platform. That's next level stuff.
She's applying shaving cream here.
That's true, but what I mean is like not in a wet environment where you could rinse it off and
Bet she's on her way to the pool, dude.
She's like, I can shave now. Wait for my train.
Train is coming. I mean, I don't know. Is this any worse than, you know, you're putting makeup on in the car in traffic? She's getting ready to work. She's saving time.
No, this is worse.
Great time.
Where is she going to wipe her hand? Where is she going to discard the shaving cream? Where is she going to discard the stubble? Yeah. This is a trillion times
worse.
Yeah,
a lot of unanswered questions. She does have a little hand towel, it looks like. So she's probably using that.
Is
I was going to say,
or is this a setup?
Could be a setup. She doesn't look like the kind of woman who would set stuff up.
No, but not as a prank. Like maybe they're like,
is this like some sort of
Gillette?
Let's make a viral video.
Hey, ladies, why are we shaving our legs? Isn't this gross to be doing? Shouldn't we just grow out our body hair?
Maybe Gillette's about to release an anywhere razor. Anytime, anywhere razor.
Well, the thing is, if we took Danny somewhere right now and had him shave in public.
Shave my back.
Yeah, in public, it would be a viral video. We could have these viral videos. Finally, the virality that I've always dreamed of, I could achieve as long as I just like do broga and shave my legs
like
in public.
Logan Paul right now, Tyson.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want that kind of heat.
Well.
Or hair.
Yeah, definitely don't want the hair. He has
so
a comb
what
over.
You do? You take Danny somewhere and you shave his back in public, and then what?
And then we have somebody film it. You film it from a distance, like it's like you're getting secret footage of us not knowing you're filming us.
So Danny has to get like a goldenpalace.com tattoo, then let his back hair grow in over it, and then shave him in public to reveal his tattoo.
Yeah.
And whatever you do when you film it, make sure you film it in portrait mode.
Yeah, you always have to film in portrait mode because that is the proof that it was a secret filming.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you film it in
landscape, that's like, oh, they were prepared for this. The guy had time to turn his phone on the side.
Professional setup.
So we've been long taught, if you see something, say something. What is the right move as a citizen, Danny? You see someone shaving their body hair in some sort of a public setting, subway, public pool. What is the move? Do you just discreetly film it with your phone so that you can
The
shaming?
No, this was the right thing, Tyson. You discreetly film and then post and then publicly shame.
No, I think you do. You can publicly shame in person too by making sure the flash is on your phone,
right?
And walk over and snap a picture with the flash.
No,
and then
Tyson,
as she looking up like deer in headlights, be like, "That is the craziest thing I've ever
seen."
You're
risking a confrontation with the person who is shaving in public and is holding a razor.
Yeah, but you're going to be a goddamn hero. And on top of that, if she steps up to take a swipe at you, you sidekick her straight through the stomach. Aim through her, not to her.
They're going
to
make a movie about you. You're going to be our generation Sully.
Bully?
No, Sully, the guy who landed in the Hudson.
Yeah,
that's going to
be
you.
The hero.
What a hero.
Yeah. Boy, and then you'll be the poster child at Space Force Academy.
he could get a job at the PR branch.
Listen to
Space
this.
Space Force.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly L. said that she saw a guy who was who got chewed out when he was clipping his nails on the subway. Ew. The guy was so embarrassed, he said nothing to the person who confronted him, looked down in shame, and then got off at the next stop. People cheered. The guy who confronted the nail clipping guy.
Yeah. Hero. Be a hero. Be a hero.
I would have been a hero right there, dude. I would have. You got to snap the picture with the flash on from like 3 inches away.
Right.
I watched a dude giving a woman a back massage at a restaurant.
Ooh. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
He got up, walked around the table, and was giving her a sensual massage. Ooh. And I was at the table next to him. So I turned the flash on my camera. Turned around, snapped a photo. He immediately sat down.
Yeah, was this at the zoo cafeteria?
Did they know each other?
Yeah, they knew each other, but it was just like it wasn't the moment or the appropriate time for that. Like, we weren't at like a super fancy restaurant. It was like nice enough, but like for a dude to stand up and like give a woman a back massage in the restaurant while everyone else is eating.
Weird that you think that it's appropriate at a fancy restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see like if you're more secluded and there's like one of those like,
I mean, this was like a shoulder
separator
rub,
things.
Tyson, or
yeah, it was a shoulder rub, but it was getting
that off-putting.
It's off-putting.
It's not toenail clipping or fingernail clipping or shaving.
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is you do one snap of the flash and those people know.
You're just talking about your technique, not necessarily how horrible the back rub was, because that doesn't seem very bad.
No,
your technique
it was inappropriate,
is flawless.
But on top of that, I'm saying the flash will get somebody shut down immediately.
Yeah.
And you don't have to say anything.
Or get yourself stabbed with a steak knife.
Well,
you're really risking a lot. The guy's like, "I'm just trying to give my wife the night out she deserves, sir." And the next thing you know, you've got a fork in your leg, Tyson.
Ran781 asks, if this was waxing, would this be as bad, Danny?
What's the byproduct? I know, is like a huge strip of wax.
So
I've never been part of waxing.
You apply the wax, the hot wax, and then you put tape and then rip the strip. I think that might be okay.
Why would that be okay? Because the mess
contains
the mess, right?
So that's the video we make, Tyson waxing my back.
You know, the problem with the, you know, clipping nails or shaving is that the hair goes everywhere, nails go everywhere. But I kind of feel like that the wax is, you know, she's putting the wax, she's putting the strip, ripping the strip off. As long as she's not taking that strip and throwing it on the floor, I kind of feel like that maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
It's maybe more okay than this, but is that what we're aiming for? Why don't we just be decent?
Yes. This is interesting. I think we've really tapped into something here where, you know, it is our civic duty if you see somebody who is violating the norms of society, that this is your phone, that is your responsibility to shame this person.
If you don't take a picture with the flash, just flip the flashlight on and off real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, just so they think that you're taking pictures of them, because they don't want pictures of them circulating on the internet doing something disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing. People say you're asking for a confrontation if you flash the camera. Yeah, maybe a dude steps up, but you'd be like, it's already uploaded to the cloud, bro. It's already there. If you can smash my phone, you can do whatever you want. It's already there. They have your face. If you do anything to me, they know who it is.
Yeah.
I doubt, though, someone who is all amped up really cares at that moment. They're probably going to insert your own phone into your orifice.
Robo Petya has the viral video we need. Has someone been seen shaving their armpits in public? Not yet, Danny. This is for, because you have a lot of pit hair, bro.
I don't know if you're going to be able to get through that. You're going to need some hedge trimmers first.
We're going to trim it first.
Tyson, why do you want Danny to shave his armpits in public?
So we can have a viral video.
But I feel like that you're very against this.
But now that he sees dollar signs in his future, he's like, whatever, I'll sell out.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, listen to this. We get Danny to shave his pits somewhere super public, like in a restaurant. Like he wears the tank top to a restaurant and then
Is he the cook in this restaurant? Is this the same scenario where you're typing on the receipt, please shave your pits?
Rob.
Problem with your plan, Tyson, if we go to a restaurant that allows me to wear a tank top, I don't think anyone's going to care. Right there, you've got a problem.
Well, you got to go to a place where it's questionable to wear a tank top.
So Olive Garden, it's right there on the edge.
Olive Garden. Yeah. And then you start shaving. Rob will film from a distance. I'll approach you and be like, bro, what's your deal? You push me down and I crawl away like a snivelly, whining child. And then we resell that video to
World Star Hip Hop
or the Mirror for like $200,000.
Yeah. And so the headline is guy shaving armpits in Olive Garden gets
confronted. You won't believe what happens.
You won't believe what happens. Yeah. Well, this is better than that Olive Garden commercial that the robots wrote. Did you see that?
I loved that.
Yes.
That was really great.
Did you see this about this commercial?
How did I miss a robot commercial? That's
so this dude created a bot, made him watch like 10,000 hours of.
I don't even know how you could do this. This seems like robot abuse.
Yeah, it really does. This isn't going to bode well for us.
Well, part of me was thinking maybe he made up the commercial and just said the backstory.
Yeah. It's
right?
It's like the internet version of shaving your legs in public for attention.
So according to this person, Keaton Patty, they forced a robot to watch 1,000 hours of Olive Garden commercials and asked it to write an original Olive Garden commercial script. And this is ultimately what it came up with, that the setting of the interior of an Olive Garden restaurant, a group of friends are laughing at the dinner table when the waitress comes to deliver what could be considered food. The waitress says, pasta nachos for you?
You're not reading it right, dude.
Part of the problem is there 1,000 hours? Of Olive Garden commercials, or we just wanted to watch the same five commercials for 1,000 hours. Yeah, 1,000 hours. Olive Garden has put $1 billion into commercials.
So basically, you think this is like the story of the person that?
Well, it could be the same commercial.
That's what I'm asking. That's torture. I mean, either way, it's torture. That poor robot.
Yeah. The waitress then brings them lasagna wings with extra Italy.
Delicious.
Yeah, lasagna rings with extra Italy.
And the friend replies, I shall eat Italian citizens.
Ooh, that's not great.
The waitress replies, unlimited stick.
Oh, whoa. Things are getting... Is this a porno?
I think this is an outtakes from the Gotti movie.
Yeah. When I go to a restaurant, especially Olive Garden, I always say, hey, could you put some extra Italy
on
it? Mm-hmm. And then I wink at the chef.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know why we're making robots watch commercials and then write commercials.
I also like this line. We see the lasagna wings. There's more Italy than necessary.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before we get to what's going on with Danny and his bolt hole, let me quickly tell you about some exciting news about a favorite show of mine that's returning to TV. On Your Mark, Get Set, Go. Double Dare is coming back to Nickelodeon. Danny, you up for Double Dare?
I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, Double Dare, where they dump the goop on you?
Yo, you better believe it.
That's extra right. Italy all over your head.
The first and best game show for kids returns Monday, June 25th at 8. That's Monday at 8. Double Dare legend Mark Summers is teaming up with new host Liza Koshy because she is going to bring you mind-boggling trivia, larger-than-life obstacles, big prizes, and more slime than ever before. Gear up for the messiest game show on TV. The all-new Double Dare premieres on Monday, June 25th at 8. Monday at 8 on Nickelodeon. Danny, you should get your whole family on Double Dare.
I love Double Dare. It's got that nose that you pick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Double Dare.
Get up there.
Can I be the host of Double Dare? Dude.
Yeah.
No, you can't. They already, it sounds like they casted everything already.
Like maybe season two. Season two. All right.
I remember Double
Let's
Dare.
Get into a place where you, that never too messy, Danny's bolt hole.
Or too much Italy.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
That would be a great song for space cadet recruitment.
Yeah,
video.
Good montage.
Just change a couple words.
Being trained in Space Force.
Like shooting lasers and walking on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A lot of cool stuff. Guys, I had so many stories this week.
Yes.
Too many?
Too many. Too many. I thought about telling or sharing with you some of the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
And there was one story about... a billionaire who lost his house to his wife, and as a going away present, he this is the best
in
part
a divorce or
in a divorce. Sorry, in a divorce,
or he had dementia.
He sprayed the house with fart scent, which sounds great. That would be great to get my hands on some fart scent. He sprayed this $20 million home with fart scent.
Where do they sell that at the Gucci store?
Yeah, I don't know where you get that. But
was that one of those A1 steak sauce candles?
Yeah.
Put dead fish in all the vents and fill the drawers with human hairballs.
How do you get those?
That's what I wanted. Like
on the subway?
You just pick them up off the subway, or you go into barber shops maybe and just say, hey, can I have your hair?
I don't think that would be that smelly, though.
You don't think? But it's gross. More like a gross like gross. Other people's hair. That is pretty gross. Okay. Like, I don't like seeing my own hair.
It shouldn't be hair balls, because hair balls seem easier to clean. It should be like shaving, like discards, like short hair.
So that was one story I thought about sharing, and I'm like,
what
nah.
What did the wife do? Nothing?
Who cares?
She reported it, and then
she reported it and made the news. The other story was about a student who put her speeding ticket or traffic ticket up on Tinder and asked people to pay it, and she was a female, and of course, her fine got paid. And I wanted to share that story, but I'm like, no, that's not news. Horny, lonely dude pays woman or gives woman money in hopes for
thinking
every day.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not news. That's existed since the beginning of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go for a real think piece.
Okay.
And it goes back to what we said earlier about people shaving on the subway or pooping in public. The BBC actually came out with a serious piece about what makes people poo in public places. And you better believe that caught my attention, because we cover a lot of public pooing stories.
Mm-hmm. Like use a public restroom or go to the bathroom in public.
With everyone watching you.
Like the jogging pooper. Right.
Yeah.
The Tim Hortons pooper.
Yeah. Right.
And then we've covered a lot of other stories.
All the mimics.
so many people who are pooping in public. And he says the first question he asks when people confront, and this is, Professor Mike Berry, a clinical forensic psychologist.
Of course he is.
Yes. He said the first thing he asks when people talk about pooping in public, he says, is it soft or hard? Because that determines the intent of the pooper.
Okay, if it was
if it's an emergency, it's soft poop. They're just I got to get it out. But if it's hard,
what do you think the hard one means?
That means they've been holding it and waiting to poop.
Mm-hmm. I'll just give you this: hard poo is an angry poo. Remember that mantra. If someone craps in public, it's a hard poo is an angry poo. Mm-hmm.
Is that what he came up with?
Well, no, that's mine. But that's what his research, his fecal research has come up with, is that a hard poo is an indication that the person was upset. It was a premeditated poop.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it becomes, they're sending you a message. Like, I bet Gotti's full of stuff like that, because the mob's always sending messages. So
instead of horse heads, Gotti was known for pooping on people's beds.
Like rock hard, solid ones that are like just hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too hard.
And anyway, this kind of gives us a psychology, and this is why I'm talking about it, because this is a highbrow program. The psychology behind the phenomenon of public pooping. Mm-hmm. And he says that really all we have to know is soft or hard for our stories.
Now, whose job is it to come in and pinch it?
And touch the poop.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you do it with his stick? Job. Yeah, I would recommend a stick, but if you want to be scientific.
I think the way it splatters on the ground, you'll know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a blood splatter assessment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at it. It's gone up the wall here.
Yeah.
It's sprayed over
there. It's on the shorts and the shoes. Mm-hmm. Have you been watching The Staircase, Danny, on Netflix?
It's splattered all over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this has all been smeared, and then more splatter on top of the smears.
Okay.
So anyway, guys, and then there's some people who use it as a weapon or a form of protest. The woman Tim Horton, she used it as a way of destroying.
She weaponized
her.
It.
She weaponized it, yeah, and it can be used as a weapon. And he's got some history
WMD.
About that. Yeah, actually, if you think about it, it is biological warfare,
at
basically.
Its purest, yes.
Mm-hmm.
At its most pure.
So I just wanted to give our listeners the psychology behind all of these stories, because now when people are just talking about, oh, the pooping bandit, you can come in with some facts and blow them away.
Mm-hmm. Somebody, a few people on here said that Sanjay and Ran781 said, bring in Dexter. And then somebody said Dexter spinoff. So now have a guy who's... Mm-hmm. He's in there investigating the public poopings, but he's also public pooping on the public poopers when they least expect it.
Genius.
Right.
Genius. This is a great show starring the great Tyson Apostle.
Yes.
No, I'm going to just be one of the writers. I'll be one of the head writers.
With that mustache, Tyson? No, you're a detective.
Why can't we get Dexter to do it? Let's just get the same guy that played Dexter to do it.
Okay, I don't know who he is, but I'm sure Rob's got his phone number.
We can hunt him down.
Mm-hmm.
I have IMDb Pro.
Okay.
All right.
So there you go.
Danny, anything else coming out of the bolt hole?
Yeah, guys, the two airplane stories I put in there.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Wait.
What?
I'm pissing on a jet plane. Don't think I'll be allowed to fly again.
Yeah. Too bad there's no ability to sense intent with urine.
Not yet. Science will catch up, though.
Color, you'd think the color or the stench would do something.
Yeah.
We know asparagus. That's premeditated. Asparagus or sugar crisp.
Yeah, if it smells asparagus, then it's premeditated.
That billionaire that lost his house should have thought of that one.
Mm-hmm. Every toilet with asparagus piss. That's genius.
Upper decker asparagus piss.
A hard upper decker and then asparagus. Wow.
Okay. So, Danny, what's going on in the world of airline passengers?
Okay. Two things. I feel like you should be sharing this.
Wait. Breaking news from you guys. I have some gaudy breaking news. Okay, the user reviews are fake.
Oh.
So we called it. You guys called
it. Here on News AF.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but how did they find out?
Hold on.
It's on Reddit.
Breaking news.
They left a ring. They linked to Reddit.
Yeah.
Kennedy from Texas put the Reddit link in our comments section.
Okay, what is it? Let's hear some more details.
Rob, are you accessing it?
I'm
on my phone.
Yeah, go ahead, Tyson. I'll follow your lead.
Well, Gotti user reviews on Rotten Tomatoes are artificially manipulated to be used in their marketing strategy.
So they said got zero, so we would watch it. They were specifically targeting us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see.
So they're saying that the user reviews are 77% audience score, which has 6,900 user reviews, which is an insane number for a movie that opened on 500 screens. So
yeah, that's basically what we said.
Yes. So we're as always very much ahead of the curve.
In tune.
Yes. Because, for instance, the number of user reviews for The Incredibles, which opened on many, many more screens, that they had 7,500 user reviews, which would be the same as what Gotti had, and Ocean's 8 only has 4,500 user reviews, which also opened on way more screens. So it seems odd that a movie that so few people saw has so many user reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
They I feel like far. We have to see this movie now, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It pains me to say it, but I really feel like we have to.
Yes.
It will pain you to watch it as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So the system is broken. We might have to step in there and be the honest review you can trust.
The worst part about this is that I'll probably end up watching this movie on a flight.
Do you think that the Scientologists all banded together to vote this up for John Travolta? Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, then the Gotti underscore film on Twitter has come out with a marketing campaign. Audiences loved Gotti, but critics don't want you to see it. The question is why? Trust the people and see it yourself. So the Gotti marketing department has gotten very conspiratorial about this, Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be a shock if there were exactly 6,935 Scientologists?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think this could be an anti-Scientology take?
No, no. That's how many user ratings came in, 6,935. Yeah. So it was like, in order to reach the next level and reduce your bad feeling rating, go see Gotti.
Your theton.
Yeah.
Your theton levels. To reduce theton levels, go see Gotti.
Gotti, the movie, is telling you the critics are fake news. You can only trust the audience scores because that's the real people that go see movies.
But the truth is telling us, trust the zeros.
Yeah. Truth is whispering gently in my ear, zero.
Okay. By the way, the Gotti underscore film, which is verified, has 904 Twitter followers and is following six people.
Even just from the one screenshot of the film I've seen, I can tell it's a terrible film.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need is the one screenshot of John Travolta looking ridiculous.
Yeah, he looks unhappy to be in the film, too. That's going to be the face of everybody watching the film right there, that scowl.
Mm-hmm. Travolta is Gotti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Just like he was Shapiro.
I guarantee you that Travolta is going to leave a hard poo somewhere publicly.
Pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Do you think he's going to leave it in front of Nicolas Cage's crystal collection?
Okay. All right.
Let's hear the airline story of the week.
We got distracted.
Oh, two good stories. This one, though, really is telling us that we're slouching towards ground greyhounding evermore, because there was a man who started begging on a flight.
Begging.
Yeah, the middle-aged man held out a plastic pouch and pleaded for help on board a Qatar Airways flight from Doha to Shiraz.
Yeah, this is interesting because we've seen this before on the subway, and you're sort of trapped. So is there a rule, no panhandling on a flight, Danny?
Well, I mean, the guy was probably super rich until he got to the airport. And by the time he had paid all the baggage fees and all the upgrades, he had no money.
Yeah.
And he's like, when I land, I will be poor. And so he's like, this is unacceptable. And so he started begging for money because he had spent all of it on all the airline's extras.
Yeah.
That's what I think probably happened.
Oh, so what happened to this man?
I think they eventually got him to sit down. They're pleading with him.
Now, did he do a show or did he just ask for...
Nope.
Because sometimes he didn't even bring a guitar on. And there's like a dance troupe and there's like a whole performance and then followed by panhandling.
Yeah, no, he should have put on a show. That's what I'm wondering if that's next. Like, I remember
sign.
No sign. But I wonder if I took a bus in the third world once, and it was very entertaining. I greyhounded in the third world.
Right.
Lots of people getting on, playing guitar, singing, maybe a trumpet here and there. Is that where airplanes are going?
Yeah. You got to pander to the audience who's, if you're paying a premium for your transportation, like an airplane ticket would be versus a train versus a bus, then you would expect to get more return from panhandling in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Because if you can make more than the cost of the flight, then I think you would have probably, you know, professional panhandlers.
The problem is approaching people who have just been robbed by the airlines and asking them for money. I mean, how generous of a mood are you going to be in after paying $500 to get your small bag checked? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be like, dude, I'm not giving you any money. I just gave the airline all the money.
That is true. Plus, you're like at peak. Like, you've probably already laid two hard turds throughout the airport.
Rage. Dude. I've had two rage poops already since I got on the plane. It smells bad. There's a fight breaking out behind me. Mm-hmm. This guy's asking for money. Now there's a guy taking out his trumpet to play
some large
song.
Person next to you wants you to lift the armrest so they can have more room.
Yeah, what's the move, Tyson? Should you shame the panhandler?
No,
on the flight?
I think you just don't make eye contact.
Don't make eye contact.
Yeah.
You sick your therapy peacock on him.
Right. Will the panhandler not talk
or
to you?
Cram your blow-up doll in its face.
Boy. The flights out there are...
It's getting out of control.
It's a lot going on.
The flights are getting out of control. The other story was about a couple who were just doing it, or at least...
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
of course you did.
Yeah,
sex panhandling. Yeah.
Well, the people
filmed therapy peacocks
of it. They were in like the back seat of the row, and the woman.
This is a new couple. This is a new story because I think this has happened before.
This was like a woman was like straddling the guy in like the back row, and the people in front of them. They were just like were sort of like filming over their shoulder of like, this is happening.
They didn't have the flash on, Tyson. They didn't have the flash on.
Yeah,
that was a problem.
Yeah.
People are greyhounding all over these flights. And we're just sitting here watching them greyhound. And it's just going to be like that till the end of time.
Till good people stand up and do something like Tyson.
Turn on the flash. Turn the flash on your phones, guys.
Yeah. I mean, the people that were filming it, were they horrified or they were voyeurs?
I think they're voyeurs, and they seem to be giggling.
Yes.
Were they hot? Filming. Were the people hot or not?
Yeah, that makes it... I'm with Tyson. That does make it... When attractive people do things like greyhounding in public, I cut them a little bit more slack because I like to see beautiful people. But I
having
don't know.
Fun. You like to see beautiful people having fun.
You know what? You're beautiful. Why don't you just have fun?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think you call that greyhounding. Mm-hmm. That's what you call golf streaming.
If beautiful people do it, it's golf streaming.
It's golf streaming. Like if a beautiful person leads a hard upper decker, that's golf streaming. Mm-hmm. If an ugly
what if
person
a beautiful person's just pissing on the back of the seat?
No.
That's golf streaming.
That's golf streaming still?
Yeah, I think so. Or they may have actually done so much damage to themselves publicly that they're now greyhounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Greyhounding. So anyway, guys, just don't fly or make your own airplane or become a billionaire.
It's a fine line between golf streaming and greyhounding.
A very fine line.
And you yourself can't tell which category you'll fit into. Only the public masses will know.
Yeah.
Here's the best part. So they eventually went into the bathroom. So they had the decency to take it to the bathroom, which is not a big thing.
You know, foreplay outside.
That
in the
smells
main
bad. And the stewardess is pounding on the door, and she says, "Would you jeopardize your holiday for a blowjob?"
Yeah, well, it didn't even seem like that, that's what they were doing.
Even the stewardess is greyhounding.
Yeah. So
I mean, she should have said fellatio. That's the proper way to say that.
Yeah. Right.
The Gulfstreaming way.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, I'm done.
That being said, we covered it all here on News AF.
We always do.
What they should do is have a robot listen to 1,000 hours of this podcast and then try to predict the next week of news stories.
Or they could protect. Accuracy. They could predict where the next greyhounding is going to take place,
yes,
and we can prevent it before it happens.
Right. That's like Minority Report.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or they should just have the robots write a script for an episode of this podcast, and then we could just come in and then read the script and then, you know, not have to think of what to say.
Or we could have the robots do it all for us.
Well, eventually that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, CGI.
That's our future.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one review here.
Oh, okay.
It's not new, but I dug back a little ways.
Is it a real review, or is it one of these gaudy reviews, Tyson?
Let's see. It's left by Kevin Connolly.
He sounds real. It's okay. Not a gaudy.
Kevin Connolly fan.
3 Best Friends, 5 Stars by Kara Gahan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The 3 best friends that they do not know I have. Wait. The 3 best friends that they do not know I have.
Oh, also, okay. That makes sense.
I picture Danny as slim, brown hair, and a twinkle in his eye. That's it.
A twinkle.
I do have a twinkle, especially when I'm greyhounding.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Slim. She pictures you as slim, though.
Thank goodness. Finally.
Finally. Okay.
Finally. My voice has matched my body.
All right. Well, there you have it, everybody. News AF, again, streaming here on twitch.tv/RJP if you want to catch the video version. So much fun to be here with you guys live in the chat as well. Also, our Facebook group, go to facebook.com/groups/groupAF if you want to join and contribute stories that we share on the podcast every single week. Follow Danny Bryson on social media. Follow Tyson Apostle. What are you waiting for? Of course, thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together. Anything else?
That's it, bros.
All right, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.